as Dan was welcoming different members, I think we're especially thankful to the Lord that Gary and Shelley could be with us tonight. That's a blessing. I was texting with Andrew Giles, and I said, hey, and also, it looks like Gary and Shelley are going to be with us. And he wrote me back, hallelujah. So he was happy about that, too. There's a Bible verse I just was going to start with. It's in 2 Thessalonians somewhere. Yeah, 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 3. It says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other abounds. And I was thinking of that verse during the praise, because regardless of what I say tonight, I'd like that to be the backdrop of the work of the Spirit of God. It's not because we're so fancy, so special.
He's getting nervous.
I'm not that old. But because of the faithfulness of our Father to cause growth, our faith grows exceedingly. And the charity of every one of you all abounds, I think. Praise the Lord for that. It's faith which worketh through love.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think tonight, you know, I know I've lied to God a lot in a praise service telling him how much I love him. I know. Perhaps we all have, right? I know in my heart that I'm still trying to catch up with all the songs I've sung for 50 years.
Right.
I know I'm still trying to catch up with that.
Right.
But having said that, I'd like to give you just a little testimony that your faith grows exceedingly. And the love of God abounds in your hearts.
Praise the Lord. Right.
Because of God.
Yeah.
Because of the work of our Father on the interior to perform what he promised.
Yeah.
It's because we have a promiser that is so faithful. Perhaps you have the same testimony that I do, that I can look back over the years, right? And I say, my promiser, the one that called me, the one that chose us, right? Called, chosen. And then there's a third word there. And I'm still working on that third word, right?
Yeah.
Called, chosen. Those that are with the Lamb. It says the Lamb is faithful and true. And those that are with the Lamb are called, chosen, and faithful. Don't just stop at called and chosen. Say, and faithful. That's what he's writing here. Faithful to him. And it's because he's faithful. That's how we got faith. We can get faithful because he's faithful to do his work, to perform in us what he promised.
Amen.
I need one more amen before I go forward.
Amen.
So in the book of Job, there's a bunch of great verses there. Job's faith was growing exceedingly, and the love of God was abounding in Job.
Right.
It was unrecognizable during a few passages. And perhaps in some of your passages, it's been a little unrecognizable. A couple times I've had that experience. I know God's got to show us ourselves. I know he does. Because that's what he's been doing. But you know, Joe, we're having a conversation today. But isn't God amazing the way He can allow us to see our depth of incapacity to be what He's called us to be, and still within the confines of that, build us up in our most holy faith, right? Amen. Still within the confines of seeing how nothing we are. How many of you know nothing has levels, right?
It does.
It does. It's deeper than it used to be. How much nothing are you, right? I heard someone say, well, how low can I go?
Yes.
And I said, oh, man, that's a bad question.
Friends in low places.
Yeah, don't ask it. You don't know how low you got to go. No, I'm lower than I've ever been, but I'm not half as low as I'm going to be. Yeah, that's true. God must show us that. But at the same time, something else is going on in our hearts, called, chosen, and faithful. Yeah. Our faith is growing exceedingly, and the love of God is abounding within us. They're both happening at the same time. What kind of a father is that? That is able to do that in the likes of us. I am sure that God has a sense of humor. I'm certain of it, because I've lived with His people for a long time, and I've been looking in the mirror. I do less of that now. It doesn't take me long to fix my hair or anything. Nothing. It's the same. Very easy, right? Yeah, Tony, right? Because you got a. I'll tell you why, brother. Because you have a really beautiful head. That's why. But he must have a sense of humor, or he likes to work with nothing and make it something. And he's good at that. And so you look in the book of Job, and Job says a lot of stuff. He says good stuff too. And so have I. Have you said good stuff? Yeah, you've had some decent days. You've said some good things. I know that my Redeemer liveth. Praise God. Right?
Yeah.
And I said some other things. Right? And that's what you see with Job. Right? It's like these Missouri roads. I love zooming up to the top of the hill, and then the road disappears. It's no good sitting in the back seat, though, I'll tell you that. But Elihu comes on the scene, you know, and he says something to Job, which is important. He says, be careful, Job, because you've chosen iniquity rather than affliction. And what does that mean? What do you mean? Well, Job really was giving his own perceptions, his own expectations, his own plan, his own what he thought should be happening. He was giving it a lot of attention throughout the book of Job, right? He said, look, do you not know what I did? Do you not know how many years I did it, right? God come in. I mean, God noticed, right? He noticed the first chapter. He said, there's not a guy like him in the East, right? He would make sacrifices for his children in case they did something, right? That's commendable. He was the best Christian around, right? He was a decent Christian. That guy was a true saint. And look what God must do to the true saint. There's a difference between what you and I call a true saint and being brought into His very likeness. There's a distinction, and I know we're amazed sometimes at the journey and what it takes. So we didn't know it would take this much or this long. Or I thought for sure, we wouldn't have to see something again, right? We wouldn't have to sense the emptiness again or the nothingness or whatever God must take us through. But that's not all that's going on, because God actually is bringing forth. And so You've chosen iniquity rather than affliction. That means his own perceptions got, they were giving him a lot of, there was a lot of that stuff running over in his head, right? And I think I spoke recently on the Zoom meeting, and I got to say, I appreciate you guys are not behind little squares on a small little screen. It's nice to see you in person. It really makes a difference, the report that's going on inside you. You know, what's the report that you're bringing? Because we've all said amen, yeah, the promises and the revelatory work that God has, the stuff that God has revealed to us over the years, we said, man, it is a beautiful land, right? It's a beautiful land. And all the spies agreed with that this is a beautiful land. It had good fruit, right. Milk and honey, right? But where does the tension come? The tension comes in you and I going up to possess because of the size of the things that are resistant to us, that are contrary to us, those things that are in us that are too big for us.
That's right.
So it makes a difference, the report that you bring. And let me just tell you the difference between the report of the 10 and the report of the 2. The 10 were looking at themselves. And they brought the report out of their own human soul. And there were 2 that were talking about the Father.
Yeah. Yeah.
The 2 brought the report about the one that promised.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's where our report must source. Because of the promiser.
Yeah.
Not because of my current condition. I don't want you to believe tonight that you are too much of a challenge for God in your current condition. Do I have overwhelming things within me of resistance? Yes, I still do. And I still run into those things. And my faith is still being tried. But it's growing. But it's still being tried. And Peter calls it precious. The trial of your faith is what's precious. Why is it precious? Because God, in the process of the trying of your faith, you find over faith to faith, you find over and over that my God is faithful, that promise, and will bring forth what he has promised. He will perform what he's promised. And I can look back over my life. He's the only one that can speak into my soul. It's not the pulpit that speaks into your soul. It can encourage you to go forward. And I hope I do that tonight. I hope we all do it. I hope we do it with one another in these days. I hope you do it where you live. Encourage one another to move forward. You know, what does the Bible say? Provoke to love and to good deeds, right?
Yeah.
We've done a lot of provoking where I come from. You got to read the whole verse. But it's the personal work of the Spirit in your own heart. It's the it's the word of the Spirit of God to speak into your soul. It's the only thing that has consoled my soul. I have a testimony. Like when I came out, I think I said this not long ago. I came out and I like to save money. Yeah. I see the look on your face. Face on your face. Not everybody at home came out that way. Some came out liking to spend it. And if it was in their pocket, it needed to go. But I came out wanting to save. And so I got a paper route at, I don't know, 11, 12, right in there. Remember how long it was a paper boy, but period of time. And that was back in the olden days. You had a canvas bag you wore over your shoulder, you know. And Sundays, man, was that baby heavy, you know, because they had the Sunday edition. And I had about four bad dogs on my route. Got chased several times. And anyway, I get nervous talking about it. But I would save my $10 a week that I made from the paper route. And then I started mowing lawns. and I'd make $10 a week mowing lawns. The front yard of this particular big house, and they were friendly people. He had his own construction company, and so he hired me to mow the lawn. And the front lawn was pretty big. I got $5, and the back lawn I got $5. And I remember I'd do it about once a week, the front, once a week, the back, and I make $10 a week. And so I saved all this money. I think I saved $100. You could have said ooh or something. And I was able to buy a 10-speed bicycle towards the end and saved $28 because it was $72.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
In those days,
yeah. Yeah. That was a while ago. 1971 or 2 or something like that. That was before they had motorized vehicles, so we had to go around bikes. And but I came out wanting to save, and so recently I was on a walk with my wife and I was talking to her about the future and the financial future. And now God has provided tremendously for us up where we are, but it's very, you know, how those things are. Most of our income comes from the Department of Defense, the bulk of it, you know. And so that, you know how fickle that can be,
yes.
Right? Change of administration next time around or whatever, and who knows? I don't know. But anyway, God has, you know, provided tremendously for us. But so I'm talking about the future, and I've got concerns. I'm a concerned citizen sometimes in planning for the future. I think you should have a budget every year. I think you should keep to your expense budget. I think you should measure your income and what that's going to be. And I think you should save money and put it away because you don't... The instability of our current, well, all the I have good rationale, and you know, I'm not going to give you all of it. And I conduct a budget meeting every year at home, and you know, I give departments budgets and all that stuff. And so I was concerned. I was expressing my concerns to my wife the other day when we were out on a long walk, and I got done. You know, you're honest with people, with the person close to you, and you tell them your concerns, right? I call them concerns. I don't want to use the word fears. Concerns. And so, you know, so a couple days later, I was in devotions. I was having my reading the Bible in the morning and having a cup of coffee. And you know, I got a premonition to read a scripture. It's in Matthew 17. You know, turn there. But I didn't know why I was reading it. And I do it anyway because, probably 8 out of 10 times, nothing happens, but once in a while you get, you know, you say, well, that was probably a real thing I should have done, right? You know. Anyway, so I get to the end of the chapter, and it's a story about Peter and meeting the guy outside the door, and it's a tax collector, and he says, "What doesn't your master, you know, doesn't Jesus and you guys pay taxes?" And it's, you know, I'm reading between the lines, but it seems like Peter is kind of going, "Ooh, wow, what about taxes? Do we pay taxes?" He said, yes, right? But he's concerned, right? Because he walks in and Jesus says, Peter, he starts talking right about the thing that's his concern. Don't you love that about the Lord? He knows what concerns you.
Yes.
He knows what to talk about. I know a lot of us like to fill him with stuff.
Yeah.
But sometimes it really helps to kind of find out what he wants to talk about. And so he says, so Peter... Who pays taxes, the children or strangers? And he said, well, the strangers pay taxes, right? And he says, okay, Peter, what? And so the children are free. And what he was saying was, you're a child of God. You're not subject to the conditions of this world. But then he says, but so we don't offend them, so we're not an offense, cast the line into the water, and the first fish you bring up, take the gold coin out of his mouth. I don't know if it says gold, but take gold coin. I'm going to say gold. And go pay the taxes for me and you, Peter. And I laughed out loud when I read the verse. Because it's as if when I was on a walk with Hannah, God listened in on my conversation.
Yeah.
Right? And he heard my concerns. And he wanted to put my concerns in perspective. Because Jesus didn't say, Peter, you know what we got to do? I'm glad this came up. We need to have a budget meeting. We need to consider our income streams. Okay? And we need to stick to the budget. And if the income streams aren't enough, we need to find some more. Okay? And he didn't say that. He said, go catch a fish and take the coin out of his mouth. And I thought, I laughed out loud because I said, God, this is what you think about my financial planning. God's got this financial plan. Go catch a fish and get the money out of its mouth. Like, income. Oh, yeah. Income stream. Get it? How many of you know God isn't concerned like you are? And he's not concerned like I am. I am so concerned about stuff that he's not necessarily concerned about. But isn't it precious? Isn't it amazing that he knows what to talk to my soul about? Dave, could you look at my resource and put it in the balance with your concern? So he talks to me about a special type of financial plan and income stream. Go fishing. Because he knows where I live. Now, I told that at home because it just was last week or something. I told it at home. And I did look around the crowd. I said, now, this was a word to me, not to some of you. Some of you need to have a budget meeting. Some of you need to look at the income stream, right? But isn't it great that we have a father that can talk to us in specific what our concerns are, the concerns of our soul? He can talk to us. He knows where we live, you know? And so then Elihu goes on in chapter 37, and he said, or actually 36, 22, after chosen iniquity, he says, who teaches like God? That is so true. Who teaches like God? I mean, you can see it with Jonah, right? Because Jonah went the wrong way. God wasn't threatened by that because God had a resource in the water. He had a big fish. And then he said, the guy said to me, yeah, he also then had a gourd, right? To protect him from that wind that was really bearing down and the heat that was bearing down. So he raised up a gourd. God had plant life he could call upon. And then guess what else? God had a worm to get rid of that. What an amazing God. He's got these resources that are able to teach us inside, the innermost part of us. Able to speak to us. This is the one that's called us. This is the one that's chosen. And this is the one that is able to make you called, chosen, and faithful. Yeah. And cause your faith to grow exceedingly and cause his love to abound in you. Yes, his love toward us is tremendous. He didn't spare his son, right? Who spared not his son, will he not freely give you all things? Why are you having a concerned citizens meeting in your head? Why are you measuring yourself about becoming something? You have no capacity to become. Well, if I pray long enough. Well, yeah, you need to pray. Of course you do. You need to call upon God. Sure. I read my Bible all the time. Sometimes I even try a different translation. So just get a little extra edge. Right? If I can just read this in another translation. So we majored on types and shadows so we could get it all, get all the info we could. And what we really needed was contact with the living God on a consistent basis. So who teaches like God? And so in Job 37, I think maybe I'll read it. Hear, verse 2, hear attentively the noise of his voice and the sound that goes out of his mouth. Too many times, you know, I think we repeat the input of the serpent, right? You know what he did with Eve? He didn't do anything particularly fancy. He just said, he asked her a couple questions so she could then switch over to iniquity. She could go over to, like, trusting in my analysis of what this is, you know? I see what's going on here, right? I can see. Because there's some discouraging things that happen, right? Sure. We would call them discouraging. Mm-hmm. There's a great story in the Bible about Ziklag when it's burning. Yeah. Right? Yeah. It's a really great story. Why is it a great story? Because then the men that were closest to David were going to kill him. They talked about stoning him. Because when the faith is being tried, when faith is being tried, what comes up? And then it just says, then David just encouraged himself in the Lord. Look, there's no other source of encouragement. If you are discouraged, find another source that's not your own. That's not based on a human analysis of what appears. Find out something different. So hear attentively the noise of his voice and the sound that goes out of his mouth. He directs it under the whole heaven and his lightning unto the ends of the earth. After it, a voice roars. He thunders with the voice of his excellency, and he will not stay them when his voice is heard. God thunders marvelously with his voice. Great things does he, which we cannot comprehend. Boy, that's the truth. For he says to the snow, be thou on the earth. Likewise to the small rain and to the great rain of his strength. He seals up the hand of every man that they all may know his work. That is what's significant. And let me just remind you of what his work is. That your faith is growing exceedingly and the love of God abounds in every single one of you. That's his work. His work is not just to call you or not just to choose you. His work is to bring forth faithfulness in you. Faithfulness. Yeah. That it's not just him that, if you're going to be like him, you are going to be called faithful. Yeah. Those that are coming with the Lamb aren't just called and chosen. I'm sure of that. I have too much evidence looking back over my life. There was some small piddly decision that I had to follow Jesus. There was some small little decision. The weight of it, though, was the cattle chute of the Spirit of God that was moving me. Right?
Yeah.
Who got me to the place at 17? I was born again at 4. Tremendous experience of transformation. But not until 17... that I wake up one day and I hated my life because I was no good for church. I went because I had to. I was so stupid. I should have been smarter. I should have pretended I was interested. But I'd stand on the praise service. We had a visiting ministry one time. This is back. When was this? 1977. I'd sit in the pew, and they'd all be praising like crazy, which I thought it was. And I would stand there like this. Man, I should have been waving my hands and going like this. Because we had a visiting ministry, and he walked down off the platform with Bill Greer, who is sorry that he's not here, and he and Betty send their love. They need prayer. They walked down off the platform, and this particular visiting ministry, I think, was going to cast out every demon that I had right there in front of everybody. And he clamped his hands on me and started prophesying, and then he wanted to... he pulls my hands out of my pockets. You know, it was going to be a forced march, you know. It was... And finally, I really loved Bill this day because Bill said, come on, he'll be all right. He takes him back up. I said, Bill, you were lying through your teeth. You didn't know if I was going to be all right. But I appreciated that lack of, you know, that I didn't get any more attention. Okay, so I wanted to get to a verse, but maybe it got moved. I don't know. Somewhere along the line here, it says, stand still. Oh, yeah, verse 14, all the way down there. Hearken unto this, O Job. Stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. Can you do that for a minute? There's a lot of reactions exploding going on, you know. But can you stand still, consider the wondrous works of the one that is promised. Consider that, right? Okay, so then it goes on, it says, in Habakkuk 2, I will set me, I can't remember now. I will stand upon my watch, 2:1, and set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say to me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. When there is things happening in my life that seem so contrary. I know you've all said one of the most foolish things that could come out of your mouth. I know I've said it over and over. I don't need this now. And the assumption of that is that you know what you need. So he says, I'm going to stand on my watch and see how I will respond when something contrary comes my way. How am I going to respond? And let me just tell you something. It's not a matter of making the right choice to respond rightly. Sometimes I'm already 10 yards down the road in my response. Oh, I got to just choose the right response. And so I grip my teeth and thank you, God. Thank you, God, for this. So now I want to get to what I want to get to. It's in Isaiah 27. You say, well, you've taken a long time to not get anywhere. Isaiah 27. Verse 2, and this is what your Heavenly Father is doing with your soul. Isaiah 27:2, in that day, sing ye unto her a vineyard of red wine. It's talking about your soul. Yeah. Your soul, you can look it up in other places, Isaiah 58. Soul will be like a watered garden, right? It says, I, the Lord, verse 3, do keep it. I water it every moment. Same thing in Jeremiah 31:12, like a watered garden in a dry land. I water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I will keep it night and day. Isn't that a beautiful promise for your soul? The Lord is watering your soul. Night and day is the promise. I will keep it. I'm watching over it. I know what to say to it. I know the circumstances you have to have to bring you further forward into transformation. I know what it takes to get you to grow up into fullness. I know the events that must occur that are contrary to us, we believe. They seem contrary. Lord, this seems contrary. What am I? How do I respond when it's contrary? And he says, I'm going to tell you, I water it every moment. Your soul is like a watered garden, and I will take care of it. He said, fury is not in me, verse 4. Who would set the briars and thorns against me in battle? And some days you wake up and you feel full of briars and thorns. And unfortunately, there are some innocent people that walk up to you and they get pricked. The funny story that happened with my youngest daughter when we were visiting Scotland. I don't know when. Do you know when that was? We went to Portugal, too.
And
were you there? Did you go with me? 5 years ago. So Maria was there. And so we went down. We walked to the ocean. They have a beautiful property that overlooks the ocean. If any of you ever been there, you know that. And there's cows and green pastures. And so my wife and I are walking around following this path. And Maria, in her heart, felt like she had a better way, which was sort of a common thing. That she realized she had the better route. And so she went straight, and she went in this pasture. It was full of cows. They were on the other side of the field, so she thought she was fine. But all the cows got very interested in her.
Curious.
Yeah, and she's a curious little girl, right? And they ran over to find out, what is this about? She's not on all fours. She's walking around on two. We're gonna check this person out. And so they all start trotting over. And so Maria got a little nervous. She found out her way may have not have been the best. And so she started running, and she ran into briar patch, thistles, burrs. You know those burrs with all the little things that stick on you? I mean, it was so bad. It was all on her legs. And she had to, I mean, she'd kill me if she knew I said this. She had to take her pants off in the middle of that field because all those little burrs were sticking in her. Oh, it was... we were trying not to laugh, but it was so humorous. But sometimes you wake up that way. Yes. And you're full of burrs. I don't even know why. I don't know what happens in the night. I don't know. I have a stupid phone. I have this watch, smart watch. But it's actually idiotic sometimes because if you wear it at night, it gives you a sleep score. Nice. You know, and then it's really great, though, because it gives you the sleep score. It says... it's like in a scale to 100. And so anyway, you wake up and you get a 45, which is not good. And then explains to you that you may not be able to deal with stress very well today. You may have trouble with decision making. So I tell my wife, I said, look, honestly, I don't want you to expect a lot out of me. I had a 45 last night. But you just wake up sometimes and everything bothers you. Briars and thorns. He says, look, who would set briars and thorns against me? Because we don't like what God's doing. We get prickly about it. He said, I'd go through them. Isn't it great? Are you thankful he hasn't quit? He has not quit.
Yeah.
He's moving us forward. He's committed to going forward with you and me. He said, I would burn them all together. I'd burn them together. But then it says this really great verse, verse 5. Or. That's a great word right there, right? Yeah, you can be prickly about this, but or, I got another thought. And I'm going to let you in on it. Or let him take hold of my strength. You can't conjure up the right response because you read it in the Bible. Thank God we come up against stuff we cannot do. And we keep trying and we keep trying and we keep trying and you can't do it. I know the Bible says love one another.
Yeah.
But there are people that I could not stomach that I've been with for 40 years. They say the wrong thing at the wrong time. We have breakfast together. Do you know what some people are like in the morning? Don't talk to me. I'm like that at night, kind of. Like, it gets about 9 o'clock and I need to. Yeah, I'm good at 5:30. He says, let him, or there's an or. I'm thankful for the or tonight. Let him take hold of my strength. Don't conjure up some human spiritual, human non-spiritual reaction, response. Oh, just praise the Lord. He's got all things in his hands, and inside you got thorns and briars working. He says, no, you got to take hold of my strength to get the right kind of response. That he may make peace with me. And he doesn't stop there. And he shall make peace with me. Isn't that a wonderful provision? That you can take hold of his strength when you don't like the contrariness that you are facing, that you are in. There's an or. That there's strength that you can take hold of. That you can make peace with him. And not only you can make peace, and you shall make peace with him. That's what he's doing with us. Faithful. You made peace with him. I'm at peace with the work of God because he's the only one. He's the only source that can talk to my soul and bring it forth and transform it. He's the only one that can hit the very deepest concerns of my heart and say the right thing at the right moment. I loved my children. And it doesn't mean I didn't tell them stuff, but I didn't always know how to touch their heart. Sometimes one of my biggest regrets is I was too interested in their behavior. I wanted to fix that, fix the behavior. But we have a God that he goes this to my behavior, and he talks to my heart. He speaks right into my soul. He says the thing that is necessary for me. He performs what I have to have. As difficult as the journey is, there's something else going on. He's building you in faithfulness.
Yeah.
He's increasing your faith. He's increasing your trust. You are a people that have already trusted in places you couldn't have ever trusted. You are a people that have loved when it was totally unlovable. Is it finished? No, I don't think so. It's not finished, but it's on course. Because God's keeping it on course. Because that's the kind of father we have. Yeah. He's keeping it on course. Elihu at the end of the book says, my desire is that Job be tried to the end. One of the translations is he'd be tried unto victory. That is the desire of God, that your faith will be tried unto victory. What is this about always triumphing in Christ? What's that verse about? Because you're not measuring yourself, you're not measuring events, you're measuring the one that is promised. And it's constant triumph. It's triumph in sickness, it's triumph in death, it's triumph in difficulty, it's triumph in disappointment. It's a provision that triumphs. It's not a fickle provision. We are of most all men miserable if we have hope in this life only, Paul says. God is not prohibited. His triumph, his victory, his accomplishment, his fulfillment of what he has promised us is not hindered by anything of this earth. It's not hindered. 2 Corinthians 2 says something. Trying to do this without turning, but I never can quote stuff when I'm standing here. Now thanks be to God. 2 Corinthians 2:14, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and to, listen to this, and to make manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. You get that? He's going to make manifest the savor of who he is by us in every place. Huh? By us in every place. How about that? Regardless. Okay, now I just want to, I'm going to wind down here. I don't know how long I've been talking, but I'm going to wind down over in Ezekiel 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me, verse 1, and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones, and caused me to pass them round about. And behold, there were many, very many, in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. Get the picture. And he said, Son of man, can these bones live? And guess what? The Son of Man didn't know. And that should encourage you today. You don't know either. And neither do I. But we do know one who does know. He has a perfect answer. This is a perfect answer. He says, Oh Lord, you know. And that's enough for me. I don't know, but you do. I don't have the answer, but you do. So I'm going to stand still here and behold your wondrous works. Yes. He said, prophesy to the bones. Oh, ye bones. This is okay to do to yourself. Oh, ye dry bones. Hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord to the bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you. You shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied, and there was a shaking, bone to bone. The bones came together, and behold, sinews came upon the flesh, and there wasn't any breath. And he says, prophesy to the wind, come four winds, and send the breath into these bones. I prophesied as he commanded, and breath came, and they stood up, they lived, and they stood upon their feet an exceeding great army. He said, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, the report that's going on inside their head is, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost, and we are cut off from our parts. He says, therefore prophesy unto them. Thus says the Lord. Don't stay with your analysis. This is what, you can be honest with God. This is what I see. Lo, they are very dry. But thou knowest, Lord. My eyes are upon you. Because they say our bones are dried and our hope is lost and we're cut off. He says, therefore, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I'm the Lord when I've opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves. You know that's exactly what he did with Jesus. And Paul says that's exactly what he's going to do with us. Right? He said, the same one that raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also and present us with you. Right? God, there's some wonderful passages about bones. You know, of all the great things in Joseph's life, I mean, the guy had these dreams. He went down, down, down. He raised up, down. Oops. Down, up, down, up. Right?
Yeah.
Finally, then the Bible says, he's been in this prison, and they forgot all about him, right? 2 full years, the Bible says. He thought he found a provision. Yeah. You know, bring word, okay? 2 full years. Yeah. And he said, then it says, all of us, when it was time, it says, the commandment was with haste. Haste? Yeah. Where was haste 13 years ago? With haste. But you know what? Joseph says, all that magnificent story, he became second only to Pharaoh. He did all that saving. He was a savior of the world, and that he saved all that grain, right? He made a, he saw ahead. He knew it was all those wonderful things. You know what he says? The great commandment he gives, he said, carry up my bones. For the Lord's going to give you an inheritance. Take my bones with you. Do you know why he had a revelation? He had a thought that came from above, didn't come from the earth.
Right.
It came from above. He said, bring my bones up, because he knew God was not limited in raising up dry bones. God was not limited that he was going through the veil and he was just going to be a bag of bones. He says it in Hebrews. He gave commandment concerning his bones. Of all the things they could have written about Joseph, he gave commandment concerning his bones. Why? Because we look in the mirror and we see, lo, they are very dry. Can they live? Do I have to answer that? You know, Lord. Then there's another great story in 2 Kings 13. It's a guy dies, and they're carrying his body, and they spy a bunch of Moabites. Oh no, we need to ditch the body. I don't know. I mean, it's just 2 verses in the middle of other stuff. I don't even, like, it's just inserted there. Like, what the heck? And they just happen to be going by the sepulcher of Elisha. And so they said, I know. Whew. Toss the body in there. And he lands on the bones. And the guy comes back alive. What is that about? There was more life in Elisha's bones, dry and dead, and because it was a promiser that had those bones in his hands. I wish the Bible would give you a little more explanation about, well, how did those guys react when he came walking out? How'd the guy himself react? What is going on? And then there's something that's always bothered me in the Bible, because it doesn't say much about it. It just inserts it. It's in Matthew. And it's chapter 27. And it says this, verse 50, we'll start the context. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, he yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in two from the top to the bottom. The earth did quake and the rocks rent. And this is the only place it says this. And the graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Period. That's all it tells you about that. And I said, even then, God was saying, let me tell you something. This is not just about one person. coming up out of the grave. I'm going to bring up many. It was a foreshadowing of his intention to raise us up also.
Amen.
So that we can live in his sight.
Amen.
Yeah.
It's foreshadowed that it wasn't just for Jesus. It's for his brethren that God's intention is to also. Don't be put off by the bones. God does some of his best work with bones. Brings them up. God help us. We have a faithful promiser.
Yeah.
Amen.